I want you to take a look at this so you know how to pray. I made a statement last week. There you have the Mediterranean Sea that all these countries, Southern Europe and Northern Africa, surround. You notice Tunisia over there, sandwiched in between Libya and Algeria to the west. Around the middle of January, things heated up over there with a lot of controversy, and in the background, you've got the Islamic groups that have an idea in their mind. They want world domination. They want the world to be under Sharia law, bowing the knee to Allah, who is not Yahweh. He is not the Lord. He is a false god created by a man. Tunisia, it heated up there. We move on over to Egypt, and we've been watching Egypt. For some reason, all of our news people have really zeroed in on Egypt. And folks, just because the army's in control there doesn't mean things are under control. Who is going to be in that place? You got the Saudi prince, who is just very worried about things. The lack of stability there, and he's looking at it. The Saudis are wondering, well, man, is this whole thing going to blow up? Because lurking in the background, who is there? The Muslim Brotherhood. We want it there. And you move on around, you look at the end of the Saudi peninsula there, and there's Yemen, which it cranked up there. Unrest going on. Now, is this thing odd that all this is happening at the same time? Now let's go on back up, and you'll see the exploded view here of that little spot of real estate, Israel, right in the middle. And by the way, you look at the size of Israel, and you look at the size of all these other countries. Isn't it a miracle that Israel exists today? Isn't that just a miracle when all these people want them dead? Not just out of the way, but dead. Then you've got the Lebanese right to the north. Lebanon used to be, I mean, they used to be very westernized, and a lot of Christians, still a number of Christians that are there in Lebanon. But right now, who's in control of Lebanon? Hezbollah. And who's in control of Hezbollah? Iran. Now, we can sit around here over in the United States, and all that I just shared with you, there's no interpretation in any of that. That's fact. That's fact. That is happening right now in the world, right now. And if you haven't begun to pray yet for God's protection over Israel, and God's protection over His people, and God's protection over all Christians that are there, you better start now. You better start now praying for God to move and to work. And because if this happens, like the Muslim Brotherhood want it to happen, like Ahmadinejad wants it to happen in Iran, if all this happens, you talk about the world blowing up. And you've got the Russians that are backing the Iranians right now. Where the Chinese fit in this, I don't know where all that happens. But today, we've got a lot to pray about. We can't sit here in America fat, dumb, and happy anymore and be isolationist in our prayers and think that it's only here that we've got to be concerned about. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the world is changing before your very eyes. And we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchmen on the wall with our prayers, with our support. And lest you think, if you didn't hear any of the interviews recently with certain of the imams that are in our country who just pretty well laid it out. Yes, this is what we're about. This is our evangelism. We want Sharia law. We want worldwide dominance. That's what we're after. Where it'd be Islam in the entire world. And name me one country that's better off today since Islam came. Go ask the French today how well they're liking it. Did you hear the French prime minister, this past French president, this past week, what he said? Man, he can't wait. he doesn't want him in his country. And all the Germans have come out with the same thing. The Brits have come out with the same thing this past week. British prime minister has made a statement about that. All this stuff, well, let's just bring them on in and it'll be okay. Yeah, it's okay, all right. They're taking over their country. Taking over their country. Now, that's a lot of heavy stuff on the day before Valentine's Day, isn't it? That's the reality of our world. That's where we are. All right. In the middle of that, I got a story to tell you. Message today comes from the second chapter of Daniel. Now, you just need to read it later on. Because I fully intended to read the entire second chapter, but I'm not going to be able to do that this morning with you. I hope you'll get home this afternoon and read it. Let me set it up for you. Question I have for you today is, what's in your future? Wouldn't you like to know that? How many would you like to know that? Oh, a couple of you thinking, man, if I knew what was in the future, I'd know which horses to bet on. Whether you go to the track or you go to the stock market. Did you hear me? Okay. Here's our key verse for the day. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now, I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed." Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar by the Babylonians, was taken as a young man along with his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into Babylonian captivity. They were taken because they were young men, because they showed promise, and the mode of the day, the way the Babylonians took control of countries, was they would extract the young people, take them into their reorientation camp to train them into the Babylonian ways. So they already knew the language of the people they were trying to dominate. They would teach them the Babylonian, and then they would use their own people to dominate them. Is that a familiar thing? That's done regularly in our world today. Our culture is trying to dominate another culture. They were there to be reprogrammed. They didn't ask for this. I'm sure many times that these young men, these teenage boys, must have said to the Lord, "What in the world is happening? God, will you not show me the future? What is happening around me? My whole world is coming down around me," as the Babylonians had come and invaded their country and had taken them off into captivity. But you see, it was God who had orchestrated all the events of Daniel's life. It was God who had allowed these things to happen to the southern kingdom. See, the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, had already been carried off years before. And we have Daniel was probably deported in somewhere around 598 B.C. First deportation took place somewhere 602, 604, somewhere in that neighborhood. Then 598, and then in 586, they took off the rest of them. They hauled the rest of them out. But Daniel was already there before the bulk of the people got there. They were already trying to retrain him. Remember, they took him, trying to feed him the food, the rich food. And remember, he asked for just let me have vegetables. Let me give me a chance. Well, while he is there, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has a dream. It's a very upsetting dream. It's a dream that, and he calls in his advisors, and he asks his advisors, "Will you show me what this dream means?" And they said, they responded, "Tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it for you." He said, no, if you were really real spiritual people, I wouldn't even have to tell you the dream. You would know what the dream is, and so you could know the dream and tell me what it means. So, in comes Daniel. Out go these advisors of his astrologers. In fact, the king spoke to him. He said, I can see your trick. You're trying to stall for time because you know how serious I am. If you don't tell me the dream, you'll be condemned. You've conspired to tell me lies in hopes that something will change. Tell me the dream, and then I'll know that you can tell me what it means. The dream made an impact upon him. He knew it was important. He knew it needed an interpretation. Never have been truer words spoken than these I'm about to read to you from Daniel 2, 10, 11. The astrologers replied to the king, there isn't a man alive who can tell you, your majesty, your dream. No king, however great or powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. This is an impossible thing that the king requires. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live among the people. Wrong. Right? These men did not realize who they were dealing with. They did not realize who was there amongst them. A fellow they had taken into captivity. They didn't realize that this young Hebrew boy, this teenager, had the hand of God upon him. And God was about to speak through him. And you see, those Hebrew boys were not afraid to speak what they believed or to stand up to the Lord. King was furious when he heard this. He sent out orders to execute all the wise men of Babylon. So not only did he get the ones who were trying to lie to him and trick him, he got the rest up. He cleaned house. Because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends, because they were supposed to be advisors too. When Arioch, commander of the king's guard, came to kill him, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him what had happened. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. In the meantime, he goes to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he asked them to pray. Daniel was a praying man. Remember? Later on, it will be his prayers that where they nabbed him. That's why he got into the den of the lions, you know, because they knew he was going to put him in jail because of his prayers, but he went back and had his prayers several times a day. It's true that only God would know the answer. Scripture says, verse 19, that night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Let's stop there for just a minute. Can you imagine what that felt like? Here, the Lord speaks to him. He knows he's about to die. He knows he knows his head's on the chopping block. And then God comes and speaks to him. Don't you reckon he was about to bust before he could get before Nebuchadnezzar and lay it out before him? When God speaks to you like that, that's how it is. You're about to bust. I want to tell somebody. I want to show them the truth. See, God has the answer. Because God knows what's going to happen. God had an answer for Daniel. He's going to deliver him. God had an answer for the king, because he's going to lay out before the king some great things that even have significance for us today. And God has an answer for you. Because very recently, maybe in your life, you've come across something and you've gone before the Lord and said, Lord, I just don't know what to do with this. Maybe it's not life and death, but maybe close to it. You see, God knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? You believe that? When you pray to God, do you see how why prayer is so important? Well, when we talk to God, it's so important that you're praying to somebody who already knows what's going to happen. Not only does he know it, he's in charge of it. How about that? So when we get connected with him, we're connected with the one who has all the answers. All of them. So God reveals to Daniel the dream and the interpretation of the dream. As I say, there are parts of that fulfillment of that dream that stretch even to today. Here, what it says in Daniel 2:31-35. Your Majesty, as he's interpreting the vision to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in your vision you saw in front of you a huge and powerful statue of a man, shining brilliantly and frightening and awesome. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were of bronze. Its legs were of iron. Its feet were a combination of iron and clay. But as you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain by supernatural means. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue collapsed into a heap of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. The pieces were crushed as small as chaff on the threshing floor, and the wind blew them all away without a trace. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. You realize that in that dream, he was outlining the rest of history. That's true. For in the gold, head of gold, we see the Babylonian Empire. What a picture of that empire and its reign upon the earth. But then the silver, and who supplanted the Babylonians? The Medo-Persians. Who came into that time? Remember Cyrus? Granted favor, let them come back from their captivity? Medo-Persian. And then the bronze. You see an era of history. What era of history is that? It's the Greeks, the Macedonians. And then iron. When you think of iron, what kingdom came next that would be ruling it over the earth? The Romans. You see how even these elements that we're talking about have a particular connection in their elemental nature with those kingdoms, with those empires. I'm just reading the Bible to you here. See it? People say, oh, it's just a bunch of hooey, a bunch of stuff. Well, there it is being predicted history as it's laid out before you. It's pretty plain. Then the mixture, the breakup. Remember? Remember what happens with the four parts of that Greek empire? And then you get down to the rock that's cut out of the mountain by supernatural means, and that is none other than the kingdom of God. God coming for his reign and rule and looking forward to that he is going to rule over everything, that every other kingdom that has gone before is going to be pulverized like dust before him, as we are looking forward to him extending his kingdom to the earth. And one day Jesus is going to reign and rule on this earth, and he is going to put things back in place the way that it should be. The way of the initial creation, he is going to put it right. We're going to see that happen. You see, secondly, God speaks to you about what's going to happen. Isn't it interesting that when God speaks, he's speaking to Daniel? He spoke to Daniel's friends. He spoke to the king. He speaks to everybody, and he speaks to us. He's speaking to us right now. I know what I'm speaking, but I don't know what you're hearing and what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. So many of us have gotten such a religious tint to God speaking in our lives. We always think of God speaking some religious message. I went to church today. That's wrong. You don't go to church. You either are the church or you're not the church. This is the church gathering for worship. Even the name, as we see, the name church is word ekklesia, ek out of, klesia, the called, called out ones, called out for an assembly. We don't go to that. It's the church gathering together over here. Do you see it? Do you see the difference? That's not subtle, by the way. So anytime you call a building a church, mild form of heresy. Because it's not a church. Because that means when someone destroys that building, they've destroyed the church. No, they haven't. Oftentimes they're scattering it. Are you following me so far? May make some of you mad. That'll be okay. I can take it. I'd rather you be mad at me than God. Because He can get it in a language I can understand. Even when you can't. But we hear these words, and as long as it's some religious word that is in a religious building, we can take it or leave it. We can walk by it and say, oh, it was a good experience. I had that. I had that. Yeah, that thing came over me there, and I left it there. But see, the difference is when God speaks to you personally, you don't leave it anywhere, do you? Because it follows you. If He's spoken to you. It's a vital word that you need for your life, not some religious word. And see, Americans have had, for so long, we have lived on the largesse of this country. We've had so many things, so many financial, physical blessings of this country. We've begun to think that that's how the whole world lives. No, that isn't how the whole world lives. And listen, we're not living like we were living 2.5 years ago. Today, what if today that your life depended on whether or not you'd heard God correctly or not? How about every time a particular group of Chinese Christians gather to worship the Lord, that's very vital that they listen to the Lord as to where they're going to meet? Because what might happen to them? Someone may have found out about where they're meeting and might be waiting there for them or bust in on their meeting. So was it important when they got up that morning that they heard the voice of God that told them to meet there or to meet there? Was that important? Or how about Christians in other countries? Where's their next meal going to come from? Is it important to hear the voice of God? And just because we can pretend that we don't need God, i.e., well, I've got enough money, I can buy my way out of it. How's that working out for you? Just a question. You see, the truth is, we've never been able to buy our way out of it. We just fooled ourselves. Thirdly, God acts on what He speaks. He fulfilled what He spoke to Daniel. You can see it historically. If you'd like for me to sit down with you and read the history to you, I'll show you exactly how that came about. He acts on what He speaks. But exactly what everybody wanted to hear. You see, Daniel recognized it was the voice of God. He listened to the voice of God. What's God saying to you? Is it exactly what you want to hear? Usually not. Because He's wanting us to conform to His will. You see, when God speaks and we listen to Him, and fourthly, He invites us to join Him and what He's doing. If you're a servant of God, you're going to be joining God in His agenda, not yours, not mine. Is this on your toes yet? I don't know about you. Mine are kind of black and blue right now. In fact, I'm bleeding a little bit over this, what I'm sharing with you today. It's not easy. God invites you to join Him. God was giving them an invitation to join him in what he was doing with Daniel, Daniel's friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and all those others. And what a ride they were about to have. You read the book of Daniel, it's one of the most exciting books in the Bible. And see all that God did. It's a thrill a minute. As you go through it and see God move. And see, what the king didn't realize was they were about to, he's about to lose everything. Babylonian kingdom. You know, the handwriting on the wall, we can read that later. That's where we get it from the book of Daniel. So many of these allusions from our literary world come from the Bible. The hand that's writing on the wall, writing God's judgment and God's plan on the wall. They were not ready. You see, we need to act on God's answer immediately. When God speaks, he's not speaking to give us a suggestion. Did you hear that? God's voice is not a suggestion. You're standing before the King of the universe, who should be the King of our hearts. It's not a suggestion when he speaks. It's the truth. His word is true. Just as surely as he spoke this world into existence, he breathed into man, and man became a what? A living soul. When he speaks, he's speaking because he wants us to act. Well, God's calling for an answer from us today. He doesn't want to be put off. We need to stop acting like we do not know he's speaking with our distractions. What's God speaking to you? I'm not talking about speaking generically. Anytime anybody ever comes up to me, "Oh, Dusty, I've got this word from the Lord and it's for somebody else." You know what the question first goes through my mind? Hey, Bubba, or Bubette, whoever it is. I'm sorry. Tell me, first of all, what God spoke to you. Don't give me this list of what God's speaking to everybody else. We got 10 dozen of those that are all on the airwaves today. Tell me, first of all, what did God speak to you about? He's not speaking generically. He's speaking to you personally. And how can you give a message unless it is first affected your life? We need to listen to what he's saying. Listen with the intent that we're going to obey him. If you do, he'll tell you more. If you don't, you're probably not going to, you're not going to get out of second grade with hearing his voice. Because one is built upon the other. He's speaking to you right now. Are you tuned in? We need to look around and observe what he's doing. What did I do at the beginning? I wanted you to observe. I know some of y'all that would just rather stick your head in the sand and pretend that world events are not happening today. But I'm sorry. I can't let you do that. I can't. Because there's one opinion that matters, and it's his. And if I'm going to stand before God's people with a message from God, I'm not preaching sermons. I quit preaching sermons a few years ago. I give messages. My craft at preaching the sermonettes for the Christianettes has really diminished. These wouldn't pass my sermon class in seminary. They'd eat them alive. But it's more like Paul Revere. He wasn't too worried about how it sounded. He was saying, you need to get ready for life right now. And regardless of what your eschatological view, your view of last things, all that, you know, hey, we can parse all that. Y'all probably wouldn't be too happy with mine because mine doesn't fit with what most evangelicals believe today. But we'll talk about that another day. But God is calling on us to get ready for the world in which we live and what's happening. We need to observe what He's doing. Look what He's doing around you. Isn't it wonderful? Just to think, God let you live at this time in history. Dictators can't stop Him. False religions can't stop Him. Arrogant people can't stop Him. Money and commerce can't stop Him. When God speaks, it's a done deal. Our only decision is whether we're going to accept what He says or reject it. We need to join Him, finally, in His kingdom work. You want to tag on to somebody that's going places? Forever. His train, the track that it's running on, it goes forever. You're not coming down to some brick wall that you're going to run into and it's all over. We're not some annihilationist group that believe that there's no eternity out there. We're looking forward to being with Him forever. Because you see, one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. Pay me now or pay me later. He's the Lord. What's He saying to you? Used to listen to Wally Amos Criswell from the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas on the radio. And he had this phrase that he used all the time. He said, somebody knew. He said, God is speaking to somebody, you. And when He said that, there are times I could feel the finger of God point right out of that. We'd listen to those old reel-to-reel tapes. My dad had them of those messages. And it'd feel like the finger of God was coming right out of that tape. And no longer was it the message of Dr. Criswell. It was the message of God for me. What about you? We're not going to sing. We're going to pray. And I'm going to send you out. If you need to talk to one of the pastors afterwards, we'll be around. But felt like this is what I was supposed to do today. Well, and by the way, we'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, it's a basket in the back, I think, and a couple up here. Bring them on.
Okay? Let's pray. Lord, right now, I thank you that we can hear your voice. I pray for those right now who are battling with the evil one, who's already put the thought in their mind, oh, I can't hear the voice of God. I'm asking you, Lord, to turn the light on so they can see in the darkness that you love them enough to speak clearly to them your message. I ask you to do that right now. Lord, I want to thank you for people in this body that regularly hear from you and who are acting obediently with the light you have given to them. I pray, God, you'll amp it up and you'll give them more. That you'll bless them. You'll speak to them. Lord, I'm praying that you're going to speak to us in words. Speak to us through your word, the Bible as we read it. Speak through us through people, Lord, that are in our lives. May we hear the voice of God through them, Lord. The parts that are your voice. And Lord, let the other stuff just drop to the side. Lord, I'm praying you'll come and speak to us in dreams. That you'll speak your word in visions. And in power encounters, Lord. Right now, I'm praying that you're going to do something in Egypt. Lord, that your power is going to come there. That the gospel can go forth in Egypt. And in Yemen. And in Lebanon. Lord, in Tunisia. All over the Mediterranean world. And Lord, I pray for those Messianic Jews that are in Israel today, Lord. I'm praying you'll encourage them today. May they feel your power. And may their tribe increase, Lord, as they have claimed Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, as their Lord. Lord, send us out with this message into our world that is hurting, Lord. A lot of people need jobs. A lot of people are hurting financially. I'm asking you, Lord, in the midst of those hurts, that we could feel the presence and the power of God that would be upon us. Send us out, Lord, in your power. And we love you. Thank you for loving us. Draw us close now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.